Hi, you're back on day 7, the last day of the first ever Professional Art Career Conference from the comfort of studio or home, Smartest Telesummit 2007. But before we jump in with both feet, I want to remind the artists on the line to please stay on for a few minutes at the end. I have some terribly important announcements, one especially that involves every one of you. So we're back from our break and ready to hear about how museums can further our art careers. Allison, you're joining us from where exactly today?
I am in my home in Golden, Colorado.
Oh, wonderful. I had this sort of imagination that you were out on the road still.
No, thank God. No, that was last week. That was last week's call.
Oh, good. All right. Allison Stanfield is an art marketing consultant and artist advocate. She is a whiz who founded ArtBizCoach.com in 2002. She helps artists promote themselves and build their businesses. Prior to this, she was advising artists in the early 1900s when she was a museum curator.
That'd be the 1990s, not
now. Oh, yes, right. You're not in a wheelchair yet, right? Not in a nursing home yet. Yeah, I misread 1990. You can't get closer to home than this for museums. Listen carefully. She has much to tell us. Allison, would you like me to come back and field some questions at the end for you?
Yes, I would like to leave about 5 minutes at the end for questions.
Great. I'll pop back on and leave these artists in your very capable hands.
Okay, do I need to mute?
You don't. We're muted.
Okay, great. Great. Well, I wanted to start off by telling everyone a story about when I worked in art museums. When I worked in museums, I often asked kids what they remembered most about their visit to a museum. And their responses, they were wonderful. Among my favorites was, the museum had old people's food, referring presumably to the limited menu at the cafe. But more than anything, the kids remembered that the museum was a place burdened by its own rules. Do not touch was something they heard over and over again during their visit. My first week on the job at a new museum, I followed a group of school children around. Actually, they were preschoolers. They had to be no older than 3 or 4, and they were being led by their teacher in a single file line. And I spied on them because I wanted to see what in the world this teacher was going to do with 3 and 4 year olds. And in this single file line, the teacher was at the front, shushing them the entire time. And each kid would, in turn, turn around to the person behind him or her and shush them. So there was this snake-like shh, 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 all through the galleries. They weren't even looking at the art, much less talking about it. And I'm certain that the only thing they remembered about their visit was that you were supposed to be quiet in the museum. Museums are battling all kinds of stereotypes like this, and we're not helping them, obviously. Are they more like mausoleums or entertainment centers? And is it okay to be elitist and exclusive? For those who have never worked or spent a lot of time in a museum, these revered institutions can seem foreboding, unapproachable, and even stuck in the past. If you take a good look at today's museums, though, you're going to notice that most museums are going to great lengths to serve their communities and respond to current trends, research, and technology. Above all, museums exist to serve the public. And that is one of my key points, so I'm going to repeat it. Museums exist to serve the public, not artists. Despite the stereotypes I mentioned, museums remain the pinnacle of any artist's career. And while this may be your goal, it is not in your best interest to approach museums as if they were galleries. Sending slides with a cover letter, wanting an exhibition, or for your work to be purchased, you're just wasting your time and you're wasting the museum's time. The truth is, it takes a long time, a lifetime, or what seems like a lifetime, to get to the point of having your work in a museum. First, some necessary background. I think when you understand how museums work behind the scenes, you will better be able to understand the structure of them and how to structure your relationship with them. There's going to be no need to take notes. I am going to give you, at the end, I think Ariane's going to send you a link to a 48-page ebook that has all of this in it, along with a few worksheets that I may mention here and there. So I think that we got you covered. You may want to write down the key points at the end. But let me just start out with the boring part, the necessary background. This is what you absolutely need to know and what so many artists don't know. The most boring part, what is a museum? The definition of a museum. I'm going to take some language from the International Council of Museums official definition. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a long, boring, run-on sentences with lots of commas. But in general, these are some words that they use. A museum is a non-profit-making permanent institution. Non-profit, permanent. It acquires, conserves, researches, communicates, exhibits, and educates about the objects in its care. That language differentiates museums from galleries right there. The acquisition of, the conservation of, the interpretation of, those are key to any museum's any museum's mission. And just a quick note about international distinctions, because I think it's important to note, especially if you're an international artist, that what we call art museums in the U.S. art museums, abroad is in the U.K., in Canada, in Australia, most art museums are termed art galleries, like our National Gallery of Art. For instance, you have the Art Gallery of Ontario and the National Gallery of Victoria. Museums, the word museum in those countries is often reserved for historical or scientific museums. So that's just something quick that you need to know. Even though museums are nonprofits, it doesn't mean they don't worry about making money. And I'm going to move down now to museum funding and financing. It is a misconception that museums have a lot of money. Museums are almost always strapped for capital, almost never have enough money. Yes, they have big donors, pillars of the community who give lots of money, but often those donations are for specific programs, specific exhibitions, and specific building projects. They like to have their names on things. Money for daily operating expenses is much less abundant. And just a quick note about how museums are funded, where the funding comes from. In addition to those big donors, museums might get money from an endowment, admission fees, including class fees, lecture and film fees, store and restaurant sales, those private funds that I mentioned, membership, state and local governments. Many museums do receive money from their state or local governments. I even worked at a museum that was part of the city government. Universities fund their own museums. Grants and awards from private and public foundations, and even municipal bonds can fund museums. And most museums get their money from a variety of those sources, a different combination of them, and usually all of them. But museums, as I mentioned, have a lot of expenses, everything from salaries and benefits to insurance not just for the staff, but for building collections and exhibitions, utilities, building maintenance, I mean, really boring stuff that people don't like to give money to, landscaping, marketing and public relations, printing, postage, store inventory. Museums need a lot of money to operate. For that reason, their budgets are planned well in advance for each upcoming fiscal year. Some museums are even organized enough to have 3-year to 5-year budgets, although they're often revised each year to meet their changing needs. Those figures are necessary. Those long-range budgets are absolutely necessary for grant applications and for finding new funding sources. Grant applications usually occur just once a year, so you've got to have your programs put together well in advance. And a good board of directors should demand prudent planning of the museum's budget. Now, the museum budget process was different in each museum in which I worked, and I worked in three of them, one of which was the University Museum. But in general, the planning process begins at the staff level. Each head of each department is responsible for his or her own budget, and they submit it to the director. They have a big staff meeting, and they fight over the funds that are available. The director approves a final budget and takes it to the Board of Trustees, which approves, gives the final stamp of approval. And that's where the budget comes from. Knowing this process and how museums are funded should help you plan your museum strategy. After you read this, you should know that you can't approach a museum and expect them to give you an exhibit next month or even at the end of the year, or expect them to purchase your artwork right away. You're going to see, after you hear everything today, that things are very slow in a museum. And as I said before, museums exist to serve the public, not artists. So who is it that's planning these budgets? A quick nod to the staff, the museum structure and key personnel. At the top, you have the Board of Trustees or the Board of Directors. These people are ultimately responsible for the well-being of the museum. They make sure that it's run well, and they also help fund it. They're usually pillars of the community, and they often include artists or people with a great deal of art knowledge. Right underneath them is the director. The director reports directly to the Board of Trustees or Board of Directors. The director is responsible for overseeing the entire staff. The director is the museum professional. Well, the rest of the staff is museum professional, too, but the director knows museums inside and out, whereas the Board of Trustees has to put their faith in the director's knowledge, and the director has to be left alone to run the museum. And by alone, I don't mean alone, but the director has to be respected for his or her expertise. Then the director oversees the various departments in a museum, and those are going to vary greatly depending on the size of the museum. But in general, you have a curatorial department, you have an education department, you have a development department, you may have a technology department, and then you have volunteers, maybe in each of those departments. And volunteers often make the wheels go round at a museum, and especially at smaller museums. But you're going to be most, unless you're looking for a different route into the museum, like museum stores or education, you're going to be most concerned with the curatorial department, and that's what I'm going to focus on today. The curator or curator, either one is appropriate, the curator is the art expert on staff. And at a larger museum, you'll have more than one curator. You may have the head curator, who may have an assistant, or you may have a curator who's responsible for contemporary art and a curator who's responsible for ancient art. It can be broken down in various ways. A curator who's responsible for painting and sculpture, a curator who's responsible for photography. It all depends on the collections of the museum, which we'll get to in a minute, and the size of it and the museum's mission. So the curator is the art expert. He or she is responsible for directly for the care and the interpretation of the artworks. And so it is her job to oversee the exhibitions, and it is her job to care for the collections. And I have to spend some time on talking about museum collections, because I imagine that while the title of this talk is Snagging Museum Exhibitions, or what you must know about snagging museum exhibitions, that many of you might also like to see your work in a museum collection, because that is the ultimate. And it also because the museum collection is what sets museums apart from other visual art spaces. It's what defines a museum. The collection is comprised of art objects, and that's usually what they're called in museums, or objects, that have been formally accessioned through an acquisition process in accordance with the museum's missions and goals. And as you're going to see, just because you leave a painting in the back room of a museum does not mean that it's in that museum's collection. It has to go through the formal acquisitions process or accessioning process. So let's think about the wide variety of the art museums that are available. Collections come in all shapes and sizes. However, there are non-collecting museums that are more defined by their programs, and those especially include contemporary art museums. Contemporary art museums are more focused on the now and what's happening now. So if they start collecting art, the art from 10 years ago, for 20 years ago, isn't as relevant to their mission. So many contemporary museums are non-collecting. But there are, so there's a wide variety of types of art museums. There are museums that are nearly encyclopedic, including the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, and that there really isn't anything else in the U.S. that compares to the breadth of its collection. There are museums devoted to a single artist. While they have just, you know, while they have the name of that artist, they might also show works by other artists that place their artists in a new context. For instance, the C.M. Russell Museum in Great Falls, Montana, the Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh, the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum in Santa Fe. Those are all museums devoted to a single artist. Then there are museums that focus on art from a country, ethnic group, or region. Latin American Art Museum in Miami, the Studio Museum of Harlem, which focuses on artists of African descent, of course, in New York. And then there's the Oakland Museum of California, which shows only California art and history. Then there are museums that focus on a specific time period, like contemporary art museums that I mentioned. Museums that focus on a certain medium or style, the Museum of Glass in Tacoma, Washington, the San Jose Museum of Quilts and Textiles in California. And then there are museums strictly devoted to art with a unified subject or theme, like the National Museum of Wildlife Art in Jackson, Wyoming, or the Arizona Museum for Youth, which is an art museum for kids in Mesa, Arizona. Being familiar with their collections, with their mission, can save you a lot of time and effort. For instance, if you make wildlife bronzes, you're probably not going to spend a lot of time trying to get your work into the Museum of Glass or the Contemporary Art Museum. So know the mission. Now, there are a number of ways to see your work in a museum collection, how it gets there. First, the museum can purchase it from you or your gallery. You can donate it. Your collector or gallery can donate it, or there can be a combination of donation and purchase. According to the American Association of Art Museum Directors, more than 90% of all American museum collections was donated by private collectors. 90% of all art in American museum collection was donated by private collectors. That's huge. It leaves very little art that was purchased outright or donated by artists. Now, as I said previously, museums don't have a lot of money. As the budget pertains to collecting, less well-organized museums might have little or no money for acquisitions. Each time they want to purchase a work, they might have to raise the funds before it can happen. So So if you really want to see your work in a collection, it might be best to offer your artwork as a donation when the time is right in your career. Collecting institutions on your resume is of great value and can help you in the long run. It's always there at the top of your resume. Sadly, artists in the U.S. still can't take a tax donation for the market value of their art when it's donated to a museum or anyone. Only the cost of materials can be deducted. We're sure hoping this can be changed soon, but at this time, only collectors, private collectors, and other donors can donate the artwork at fair market value. But it's still no reason not to donate. That your work in a museum collection gives you many benefits that cannot be measured in terms of money. So if you still want to beef up your resume and donate your work, please be aware that museums do not and cannot accept everything that's offered to them as a gift. You may think of it as being really generous, but a museum professional looks at that offer of your artwork and realizes that each object accessioned into the collection has to be treated in the exact same manner. It has to be provided safe, secure, and climate-controlled storage, and it must be conserved when necessary. The curator also wants to ensure that each new object will be able to be exhibited with other art objects in the collection. In other words, that it makes sense with what she already has available. It is fairly expensive for museums to care for an object over a long period of time. So before an object is accessioned into the permanent collection, the museum staff should ask, does it fit with our goals and does it further our mission? Is it of the highest quality? Does this art represent this artist best? Does it represent this genre best, this time period best? Can we afford it? And can we care for it over the long run? In the museums in which I worked, we had less than 5% of our permanent collection on view at any one time. That means 95% of the collections were in storage. That's a lot of art. If your generous gesture of a donation is turned down, it is undoubtedly because the museum could not answer a resounding yes to each of those questions above. They have to follow those guidelines. So, if they can answer yes to those questions, the accessioning process moves along, but it still takes a long time, and it goes something like this. The curator decides she would like to acquire something for the museum. The curator seeks the director's approval because she wants the director on her side. Then she takes the request to an acquisitions committee or a collections committee. This is a board of directors subcommittee. And she outlines all of the reasons why the museum should acquire the object. If the collections committee agrees, then they seek the approval of the entire board of directors. And the work can then be accessioned into the collections. So it's a long process. It doesn't happen overnight. And I mentioned collections first, of course, because they drive a museum's exhibition, but I am aware that you would also like to know how to snag a museum exhibition. And for that, let me just give you some background on exhibitions. First, where do they come from? Gallery space allotted to exhibitions outside of the permanent collection, because the museum always wants to have some permanent collection on display, will vary greatly from museum to museum, depending on the depth of their own collection and their mission. But there usually is a gallery space for special exhibitions. Museums can organize exhibits themselves with their own curators, or they can schedule one from the outside. Either way, most exhibitions held in museums are curated, which just means that one curator or curatorial team builds an exhibit from the ground up based on a central thesis or a belief in an individual artist. Exhibitions that are juried or selected another way are usually found in other nonprofit spaces or alternative spaces. Curators just like to have more control over what will be on their walls. And in my opinion, curators really like for the, those ideas to come from within their themselves or their staff. They really like to have that control. Museum curators look for exhibitions that fit within their mission and include artists whom they deem museum-worthy. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. They are the art experts in the museum, as I said, and they are guided by their personal preferences and expertise. When they curate their own exhibits, the artwork could come from their own collections, from individual artists, from private or corporate collections, other museums, galleries, or any combination thereof. If they book an exhibition from outside, these are exhibitions that are packaged as complete exhibits and marketed to them, they might come from guest curators, private or corporate collectors, or traveling exhibition services. And just a quick note about those, traveling exhibition services are companies that organize and circulate exhibitions from venue to venue. They exist in numerous forms across the country, some even specializing in traveling exhibitions in a particular state or region. They have in-house curators, but they also accept proposals from the outside. So if you're interested in traveling an exhibit, that might be the way to go because they have the setup, they have the shipping capabilities and the crating capabilities to do that. Many artists and artists' organizations travel their own exhibitions, but it is an enormous amount of work. They're offered for a rental fee and to the museum and can last anywhere from 1 month to several months at a particular venue. Museum exhibitions are getting longer and longer because of the costs that go into them. And they range in price anywhere from a few hundred dollars in rental fees to hundreds of thousands for so-called blockbuster exhibitions. They are a terrific source for museums that may just have a small curatorial staff or no curatorial staff. There are plenty of museums around with no curator and only a director who's doing more than one job. So the curator has all these choices for exhibits. How does an exhibit get on the calendar of the museum schedule? So, like the collection process, this is very slow. You can't just propose an exhibit or ask for the curator's interest in your work and expect an immediate answer, unless, of course, your work doesn't have anything to do with what they're trying to do and you haven't done your homework, and you'll probably hear more quickly from them something like, "What in the world were you thinking? We don't do that here." So keep in mind the museum exhibition planning process usually begins 2 to 5 years or even longer in advance. In most museums, curators research all proposals of interest and then discuss them with other staff members. I had stacks of these on my desk, and they come from all those places that I just mentioned. They come unsolicited, or I'd get a phone call and they would say, "Hey, we've got this exhibition. Are you interested?" And I said, "Show me the slides." I don't know what they're showing these days, probably DVDs or CDs. "Show me the information and I'll look at it." And usually those would just pile up until I was ready to look at them. And if I wasn't interested in it at all, it wouldn't go past me. But if the curator does have an interest in one, she's going to take it to other staff members. And after she asks herself these questions, she's going to make sure it fits with the museum's goals. Again, she's going to ask if it's of the highest quality. If it's about an individual artist or two or three artists, she's going to say, "Are these artists worthy of a museum exhibit?" To the educator, she's going to say, "What is the educational value of this exhibit? What programs can you put together for this?" To the head of development, she'll say, "Can we fund this? Is this something we can get money for?" And to the PR person, she's going to say, "If I book this exhibit, will people come see it? Can you promote it? How will you promote this?" Those are all questions, because if you don't have the whole staff on board for an exhibit, things are going to fall apart. Everyone needs to work as a team. So these days, museums have to balance their traditional roles of exhibiting, collecting, preserving, and interpreting with the entertainment value they're increasingly pressured to provide guests and members. You see a lot more theme, that's T-H-E-M-E, theme exhibitions that appeal to a broader public, such as the motorcycle exhibition at the Guggenheim a few years ago. While you're visiting museums, and you should visit often, I mean once a week if you're interested in seeing your work there, you really need to understand the nuts and bolts of exhibits. In the ebook that you're going to get and as a separate worksheet download is an exhibition analysis worksheet. And it can be especially useful for exhibits that contain artwork similar to your own. After you do this a few times, after you start looking at exhibits with a critical eye, you're going to be able to think critically on your own. And that will help you formulate your plan and help you envision your own work in there. So with all of this in mind, what makes you museum worthy? What makes you museum worthy? In general, I would say that a gallery is definitely much more interested in your recent work and a museum more interested in your life's work. A contemporary art museum, of course, would be interested in recent work, but you might have to be recognized for a lifetime of achievement before they are ever interested in what you're doing now. Hope that makes sense. And some museums do exhibit small exhibitions of contemporary work. A museum would also be interested in the fact that you are an artist who has matured and developed in a fairly consistent manner, that you're not all over the map. They would be interested in knowing that your mature work at whatever age came from the seeds of your previous work. They would also like to place you within the zeitgeist of your time. As an example, very few contemporary impressionists with a small I painters get their work into an art museum these days. Why? Because the height of the impressionist with a capital I movement was in the 1870s. That was a long time ago. You'd have a better chance getting into your local museum as an impressionist, but not necessarily because your work is of your time. The local museum's interest in you might be that you're a very influential artist in your community. And by the way, you should always start with your local museum, or if you have moved, the museum in the town or area from which you hail. Those connections are your strongest ones. So when are you ready to approach a museum? You've deemed that you're museum worthy. When are you ready to approach a museum? You're ready to approach a museum curator with your work when you have done these three things: established a reputation and an excellent exhibition record. A reputation and an excellent exhibition record. And you have created a specific body of work or a specific work of art that you know would fit well in their collection or exhibition program. And or you have a special tie to the institution. For example, you're well known in the community. You are very influential to a younger generation of artists. You've taught there forever. You are considered a local treasure. The first two things you really need, an excellent exhibition record, a specific body of work, and the third one is very valuable as well. It is not necessary to have a special tie if your reputation is so stellar and your artwork is in such demand that any museum would want it, but it's always best to meet and get to know someone before you have to ask for something. So that special tie is always nice. As you're going through your plan for museums and figuring out where your work fits best, add the curators to your mailing list. You don't need to do any more than send them a postcard or two a postcard 2 or 3 times a year. You just need to keep them on, to keep yourself on their radar screen, to familiarize yourself, to familiarize them with your work, and keeping your name in front of them. They may not keep your postcard, but after they see your name and your images over and over again, they're going to start to say, I've heard of her. I've heard of him. I've seen his work before. I don't remember where. You're just familiarizing yourself, and this is good. This works with galleries as well, in my opinion. Some more pointers about approaching a museum. When you send generic correspondence or a postcard to anyone, always personalize it with a handwritten note. That's just a nice thing to do. It doesn't have to be very long, but personalize it. If you're unsure of the person's name or title, call the museum and get it. Make sure you have the latest information. Many museum curators have their doctorates, and you want to refer to them as Dr. So-and-so rather than Ms., if that is the appropriate title. Invite curators, directors, and other key staff to your openings. Offer them a special tour of your exhibit so you can give them a personal attention, which you really can't do at a reception with so many people around. But while you're sending them the postcard or the invitation, say, hey, I'd like to show you around next time you're in the area. Send articles about your work and accomplishments to the appropriate person on the museum staff. Again, make sure the time is right, meaning make sure that you're ready to receive the attention, and don't risk becoming an annoyance. For instance, don't send calendar listings or only brief mentions of your work. It should be something substantial that you've accomplished. Another pointer, send additional and relevant information when you hear about certain opportunities at the museum, like a group show in which your work might fit. Hey, Dr. So-and-so, I heard you're doing this exhibit. I really think my work would go well. Maybe you could drop by the studio next week. Okay, remember earlier I said that museum curators usually prefer to come up with their own vision for exhibitions, and that's why I think it's best to get to know the curators first before you propose an exhibit. It's much better idea. It's much better if the idea came from them. But if you are proposing an exhibit, you can make the staff's job easier by outlining your vision for the run of the exhibition. Museum staff, this is important. Museum staff does not ever think of exhibitions as merely filling up gallery space. They can find art anywhere. Their role is to provide programming that helps interpret those objects for viewers. And just take a quick look at any museum calendar, which are full of gallery lectures, talks, film and video showings, and even art-making activities, and you'll see my point. Make your exhibition proposal more attractive by spelling out your ideas for those programs that go along with your exhibit. And this can be done in a full exhibition proposal. And finally, my last key pointer for snagging museum exhibition is treat your art like it belongs in a museum. If you don't start treating your art like it belongs in a museum, no one will think you belong there. Use the highest quality materials, including framing, matting. Get excellent photographs of your work. Keep top-notch records. Start treating your art like it belongs in a museum, and it will help people envision it there. Okay, I'd like to leave you with what I think are the 5 key points before I take questions. The 5 key points, and you can write this down. It's on the second page of your handouts. The first is that museums exist to serve the public, not artists. The second key point, a museum's mission and collections drive its exhibitions and programs. Everything has to make sense and have a purpose. Third, curators hold a tight rein over what they show in their galleries. They like to be in control. They're the art experts. forth, treat your art like it belongs in a museum. And finally, 5, keep your name in front of museum curators. The museum-artist relationship is not short-term. If you're interested in seeing your art in a museum, you've got to be in it for the long haul. Got that?
Hey, Allison, thank you. Gosh, that was just so incredible. A couple of questions came up for me that I think might be relevant for some of the artists. And
okay.
If I missed something, just tell me. But I'm curious. I've often heard that if you're want to work with a museum, one good way to try it is to go with museums that universities have. Are they at a slightly different level than the museums in cities and towns?
It is perceived that way. Of course, they are even more focused on education.
Absolutely.
But they get their exhibitions the same places that the other museums get their exhibitions. I would say if you are a graduate of that university, it's a great place to approach. And I would say that, if you've been around a while, I mean, you still have to follow the rest of the criteria, but a university gallery, it obviously depends on the size of the and the mission of that university gallery, because some university galleries are much smaller and, don't have, a large permanent collection space, so they just show rotating exhibitions. So it depends on their mission. The university museum where I worked, I would never have someone approach them. They just don't take one-person artist exhibitions unless they're associated with the university.
What if the artist is working in a field that ties into a different field that is part of that university's larger structure? Like, say, an artist is working with a process that involves something to do with the physics department and what they're exploring scientifically, and the artist is actually using something relative to that. Would that be more of a tie-in?
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up, because any time that a university can work with a university museum or gallery can work with another department, they get more people on staff on their side. And so, and they increase the educational value. Then they get physics students in the museum in addition to the art students, and the programming just doubles right there. At the same time, yeah, so I think that's a good place to start. There are also universities that have gallery spaces that are separate from the museum, and, of course, those are run a little differently.
Right, of course. Again, research is key here. You've got to check things out and know what you're doing. But here's the second quick question I want to ask you. Does this work the same way we know it works with journalists? Like, if you bring a journalist a story, you're more apt to get their attention if you give them sources besides yourself. If you're planning a thought around an exhibition, are you going to get noticed more quickly if you give them other sources besides your art? Other artists or other art that would fit with that exhibition concept.
I think, and that's the packaging thing. I mean, I think the problem that I came across as a curator when things came across my desk is, I just get exhibition proposals from random artists thinking they deserved an exhibition just because of the value of their work. And, of course, I have to think, how is this going to be interpreted in terms of our collection and our school programs and blah, 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 blah. So if you can package that and bring in, and museums are always doing, they're doing everything they can to reach out to every sector of the community that they can think of with an exhibit.
Right.
So if you can
right.
bring in certain nonprofits, certain departments, certain school ages, it's great.
Okay, great. All right, I'm going to open this up. As soon as I do, everybody mute. We literally have time for just one question. The rest of you, email me. If I cannot answer you, I will send it on to Allison, if that's okay with you, Allison.
Sure. I might answer it on my blog.
Okay, there you go. So you give me a link, direct link to your blog, and I'll pass that along.
We'll see. Okay.
Okay. Hang on. I'm going to open this up. Everybody hit *6. Oh, dear. Did I open us up the wrong direction?
I don't know.
I don't hear a thing.
No, me neither.
Anybody there? All right, let's try this again. It says star, I think. Okay,
there we go.
All right, hit star six. Great. Okay, if you've asked a question earlier today or earlier in the session, could you please hold back and let someone new step forward? If you have a question, hit star six, say your name so I can acknowledge you and know we can hear you.
Cynthia,
go right ahead.
Yes, I had an opportunity to drop a portfolio with the curator of a museum in Florida and haven't heard back. This was the first time, it was just through a friend that I had the opportunity. So as a follow-up, I don't see much hope for that shot in the dark working. As a follow-up, what do you propose I do to keep in touch with this curator? I did meet her and it went well, but how would you proceed from there, Allison?
Cynthia, let me ask you, when was that?
It was just in December.
Oh, that is nothing in museum time. So we're talking, I mean, those subcommittees of museums meet, maybe they just meet once a month, maybe they meet once every 2 months, maybe once a quarter, but that process is way longer than that. But having said that, you know, after you drop your work off, send a note, say thank you so much for meeting with me about my work or let me talk to you about my work. Then, you know, keep on your mailing list. Send her an update if you have an article. Oh, I thought you might be interested in this. Or, send her an invitation to come to your studio. Have you done that?
I haven't, but I'm in Virginia and she's in Florida.
Oh, that doesn't work. Okay.
Yeah, that might be kind of a stretch.
Well, next time she's in Virginia.
I will.
But anything is legitimate. And honestly, I really think that most artists don't take advantage of that follow-up, or they're intimidated by curators, so they don't follow up at all. Just a note every once in a while, a postcard, email, anything, just to keep you on her radar screen.
Great. That's great. Thank you so much. Okay. I'm sorry for the rest of you. Just send your questions on to us by email. I'm going to put us on global mute again. Al, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. The breadth and depth of your knowledge is really awesome. Thank you so much for your contribution. Smartest is so much smarter because of you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be in touch, my dear.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you all for listening in. I'm excited to share this information, and I'm excited to see your work in a museum someday.
Great. Thank you, Allison. Okay, artists, some very important end notes here. We are sending you the link to Allison's generous bonus, her invaluable museum ebook. Platinum participants, look for handouts today or tomorrow for next week's homework. The form, we're working hard to get this set up properly. I think we're going to probably end up with Yahoo, and I will get back to everybody within 24 to 48 hours. Stay tuned. Remember, the testimonial line is open, and you can email us. Both of these resources are on the first page of your Inside resource pages. And I've said this before, but I really don't know how to say it enough. You artists have made Smartest better than I have ever imagined. We are at the end, can you believe it, of Smartest Telesummit 2007, Day 7. But as I've said in two different ways now, we are not at the end of Smartest. Smartest is now morphing into an online art career institute where we will keep on bringing you the best experts we can find with year-round offerings in shorter venues. We are in the middle of development, so ideas are free-floating and emerging. We are plowing our budget right back into having an entire system created just for Smartest. A lot of our technical problems came because we were dependent on third-party software. We started out with almost no budget of any kind. So, artists, when I hear you talk about the financial struggle, believe me, I have been there and I can relate. Some of the ideas we're going to implement are these. We're going to offer short classes, much like the presentations you heard here. We're going to do case studies with artists who've overcome specific obstacles that would be pertinent for you and artists who've made a path to success. We're going to create a Smartest
space for artists to post extensive profiles with their entire portfolio, including an option to post video of their creative process to discuss with other artists what's going on and to create interviews with you. But here's what's really exciting. This is for me personally. If any of you have looked at my bio, you know that I have a doctorate in human development and creative behavior. Creativity is my core passion. It is what has driven my whole life. We are going to do a parallel track with Smartest. You're going to get the nuts and bolts of career issues and business problems, but we're also going to start a track around issues around creativity. There are so many experts out there addressing this on many levels, and we're going to bring them to you. But here's your part. You are historically the first alumni group. We need you. I can't tell you how much. Some of you have already given us ideas that we're going to be implementing. We're going to stay in touch with you, and we'd love it if you stayed in touch with us. You're going to get the benefit of opportunities with notices of new events, and you will have automatic membership for the first year, which will include discounts for many of the programs. But keep in mind, we need to catch our breath. The Smartest Telesummit has been a six-month-long effort, nearly 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, from the world's tiniest staff. And here, I want every one of you to know that none of this would have been possible without my extraordinary assistant, Lilia Teal. I say extraordinary because you can all see her and her work in the artist profiles.
Hang on a second.
Yes?
Okay, thanks.
I'm not sure what that was, but that might have been Lilia. Besides being a brilliant strategist, a loyal and hardworking assistant, she is also a pretty fantastic artist. So please stay in touch with us as we move forward. Smartest is determined to help you work smart, sell smart, and inspire yourself and the world with your art. Stay tuned.